Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It is said of certain salesmen, they are such smooth talkers and so good at selling that they could even sell ice to an Eskimo. I actually think we have a couple of those salesmen in our congregation, Bob and Mark. The meaning should be obvious. And one who presumably lives in a region covered with ice and snow, the Eskimo has no need to buy what he can readily get for free. And thus, anyone who can convince an Eskimo to buy ice must be an amazing salesman. But most folks are not that skilled at selling, nor that proficient at persuading. For the vast majority of us, there must exist a need on the part of the patron for us to actually sell them something. We just aren't that smooth at talking to persuade others to buy that of which they have no need. And yet most of us approach evangelism in terms of trying to get people to buy or to accept what they don't even know that they need. You know, there's a reason why you plow a field before you plant seed in it. If you don't plow the field, the seeds won't grow like they're supposed to. And yet, time and time again, we wonder why our efforts to share Jesus' love with other people is often not met with receptive ears or enthusiastic responses. Perhaps it's because too often we try to plant the gospel seeds in hardened soil. Soil that is unplowed and unprepared. Too often we try to sell people something of which they don't even know that they have a need. We try to sell them on Jesus, who came into this world to save us and to save them. But most of them have no idea that they need saving. It's interesting to me that the content of Jesus' message when he first began to preach could be summed up in one word: repent, which was also the summation of John the Baptist's preaching. And it was the essence of Ezekiel's preaching too. They did not start out sharing the love of God and the forgiveness of God. They started out by preaching the need for repentance. For you see, the love and forgiveness of God appear to be of no need to the person who does not recognize the existence and the danger of his sin. And thus the effect of sharing God's love or teaching others about Jesus' death on the cross and for our forgiveness and his resurrection from the grave to give us life everlasting, to tell that to people who don't acknowledge their sin is like throwing pearls to pigs. It's a complete waste of time and energy. And it will not take root and grow in a heart that has not been prepared. And thus the importance and the necessity of proclaiming a message of repentance. Now I know, telling folks that they're sinners is not a popular thing to tell people. It doesn't go over too well a lot of times. But it is a message which plows the soil of one's heart to prepare it to receive the seeds of the gospel. For remember, as John tells us, if we say we have no sin, We deceive ourselves, and the truth, meaning God, is not in us. And so if we're going to help people see and know Jesus, then we must first help people see and know their sin. They have to know their need for Jesus if they're going to accept Jesus. Listen again to the words of our Lord from our Old Testament reading in Ezekiel this morning. Again, this is God speaking to Ezekiel. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Or listen to the words of Jesus from Matthew 18. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. Or from St. Paul, Galatians 6. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. So you see, there is a place in our Christian lives, in our Christian witness, to point out the sins of others, to show them the error of their ways. And we do this not to sit in judgment over others or to elevate ourselves above them, but we do this because God has called us to be our brother's keeper and to help sharpen one another and to lead others away from sin. But when we neglect to help others see the existence and the danger of the sin in their life, we are partially responsible for their sin, and we will be held accountable before God. It's no different than a person who fails to alert oncoming traffic that the bridge is out. He may not have caused those other cars to have gotten into an accident, to fall off the bridge, but his failure to warn them of the danger that lay ahead makes him partially to blame for their deaths. Matthew 28, we're given the Great Commission of Jesus. And in that Great Commission, God gives us the directive to disciple others. And we do that discipling by baptizing them and by teaching them. Jesus said, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And teaching others everything about God, what God has commanded us, that includes God's laws. It includes words about sin and about repentance. And thus, just as important as feeding the hungry or caring for the sick, as important as those things are in our life in Christ, so also is the need to warn others of their sinful and wicked ways. For how can they confess their sins? How can they turn away from their wickedness if they are unaware that what they're doing is wrong in the eyes of the Lord? Again, the words of Paul, Romans 10. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? We could say the same thing about repentance and sin. How can they confess what they don't know to be wrong? And how can they know what is wrong without someone telling them? Part of our gospel mission is to help prepare people for the good news of Jesus. And part of the way that we prepare people for the good news of Jesus is by pointing out their sin and the need for repentance. As I said before, it isn't always popular. In fact, it probably hardly ever is popular. But it's always important. And if our calls for repentance result in even one sinner turning away from their sin and turning to God and falling upon His mercy, there will be great rejoicing in heaven. For that one person will be saved. Again, the words of God to Ezekiel. If the wicked man turns away from his sin and does what is just and right, he will surely live. He will not die. None of the sins he has committed will be remembered against him. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. This is the good news that we can share with those who are contrite over their sins. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, because of His resurrection from the grave, God is faithful and God is just to forgive us and cleanse us when we come to Him and repent of our sins. And thus, Paul affirmed in Romans 10 the words that were spoken earlier by the prophet Joel. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Regardless of the severity or the frequency or the variety or the longevity of our sins, we will be forgiven when we confess them to God. And we will be saved. God will do this for us and for all who call on His name for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.